The verse for today is the famous promise from Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth around those who fear him and delivers them. I grew up with these promises. I grew up with the children's stories that says if you lose your wallet, you prayed, you would find it. If you're flying in a little airplane and all of a sudden the plane runs out of gas, you pray, somehow the plane keeps going. That's what the children's story is. I grew up with the story in Thailand. Someone came to our Sabbath school and he said, I was a fighter pilot in World War II. I was coming back from Germany. I was exhausted. And all of a sudden I woke up and I was right down on a field in Holland. I pulled up and I looked back. And my plane had cut a whole path through the tulips in Holland. He said, the angels woke me up. Amen? The angels. I grew up with angel stories, white tall angels outside missionary houses. Famous one, a man in Africa working at a hospital. He had to go to the town 2 days bicycle ride to get the money and the medicines to pay the workers. He got his money. He got the medicine. He's on his way back. He's camping under a tree. He prays for the angels to protect him. The next day, some of the Africans came and they said, where were all those soldiers you had? By myself. No, we saw you take the money from the bank. We followed you out. We were going to steal all that money from you. But we saw 26 tall white soldiers around you. Missionary came home to his home church. He told that story. Someone jumped up. He said, what day was that? He figured out the day. He said, I was golfing and I felt God impress me that we should pray for you. I called a group of my friends. We met at the church and we lifted you up in prayer. Everyone who was here, would you stand? And men popped up and they counted 26 men, one man for each angel. Amen? Angel stories. And I grew up hearing Psalm 91. Can you read that with me? 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Next verse 10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plagues come nigh thy dwelling. Now verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Angels. And I grew up with the angels. There was a lady I read this week who was invited to her small group, and they were studying Psalm 91. And she said to the group, I don't see how this can be true. She had just lost her daughter. She said, where were the angels? When the Columbia spacecraft with seven or whatever astronauts came down, the commander was Rick Husband, a Christian, praying for the angels, and they all died as they entered the Earth's atmosphere. Where were the angels? It's supposed to happen. Every Katrina, every disaster, every shooting in San Bernardino. C.S. Lewis says every grave, every hospital bed is a testimony. It doesn't always work. And even a church, when people are praying, someone comes in and people died. Where were the angels? What do you do? I started off, I'm sure, in my life over here at 10. These promises work. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. The windows of heaven will open, and I will pour you out a blessing that you cannot receive it. Angels camp. That's where I started at 10. And then there came a time where I prayed for something I had lost, and I did not get it back. 9. And then I prayed for my grandfather, Dan Venden, dying of cancer while I was in college. And he did not get well, and I had to come down to 8 or 7. And then you have 40 years of pastoring, and you pray for people, and they don't all get well, and some have accidents. And if we're not careful, I have friends that have kept sliding down until they're over there at zero. I read the story of Bart Campolo and Tony Campolo this week. I have heard Tony Campolo most of my life. He's preached at La Sierra graduation. A great Christian speaker, and his son Bart Campolo, chaplain at USC, has been a preacher and a speaker for over 30 years in his early 50s. And in the last year and a half, he has given it all. Started at 10, and he said, I prayed and prayed and prayed for things to happen, and it never happened. And he slid all the way down. He's at zero. He has given up his faith in God. There is no heaven, no virgin birth, no resurrection, no miracles. He is now, they call him, the humanist chaplain of USC. Coming out with the book next month. And his father says why I stayed, and the son says why I left. Because the angels were supposed to be there, and they weren't there. They asked him, what would it take for you to get your faith back? He said, if someone had their leg missing and it came back, then I would believe again. What do we do with these promises? They call it giving up theism. Theism is the idea that there is an active God and he's involved in our world and there is a creation and virgin birth and resurrection. He does answer prayer. He's engaged. Theism. And then they give it up. Maybe end up with deism, which is the idea that God created the world, but then he checked out. He's on vacation. He's not involved. Thomas Jefferson, William Miller were deists. Or you end up with what I call Einstein's God, where Einstein says, I believe in a God, but he does not believe in a personal God who is hearing you, talking to you, relating to you. He is nature God. He is the one, like the Star Wars force, who made the universe here, but that's about it. There's nothing more. There's no angels camping around about you. And as I looked at that slide from 10 down to 1, and I had friends go all the way down to nothing, I put an anchor point down that I am not going there. And how can we find a middle ground where these texts fit our world? I think we have to say, first of all, these promises were never meant to promise total, absolute physical protection for everybody in all places and all times forever and ever and ever. That is not what these verses were promising at that time. This probably doesn't fit the evidence that we have. Jesus' disciples died terrible deaths, martyrs' deaths. Where were the angels for them? So obviously it doesn't mean physical protection all the time for everywhere. And we probably will have to say that the Bible is pretty clear that God wants to bless everybody equally. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, he says he sends the sun and the rain on the just and the unjust. So externally, on the outside, God's blessings are equally, evenly distributed to everybody, whether you have faith or not. So what does he do just for us? Two girls got baptized today. What do we get just for us? And we would say, when it says the angels of camp, it is protecting your soul. It is spiritual. It is protecting who you are. In Ephesians, it says, put on the shield of faith, and he will quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. Not talking about your car and your body and plane trips. And all. He's talking about your soul. Satan is after your soul. Jude chapter 24, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. This is spiritual, not physical. What God is trying to do for us. Number two. You remember the old story, Elie Wiesel just died. He talks about World War II, being in the German camp. We've talked about it before, so just real quickly. They hung three men up in the wire because they tried to escape, and they forced all the Jewish prisoners to stand there and watch. And the young boy, 14, was not heavy enough to draw the noose tight, and so he's screaming, choking, and one of the Jewish prisoners cried out, where is God? We are the chosen people. This should not be happening. Where is God? And I've wrestled most of my life trying to sort this out. I've asked everybody every question. I finally bought a book one time called Where in the World is God? Robert Brzee. And he tells a parable about two kids. They're graduating from high school. They're in love. They're going to get married. One day the school is letting out early, and so they said, let's go have a picnic. The boy says, I'll pick you up at home. She goes home. He gets on his motorcycle. He roars out of the parking lot. He's 18. He's young. He's powerful. He gets about a mile down the road, and he says, oh, I forgot my helmet. Just another mile or two to her place. I'll get it next time. I'll get it tonight. Never mind. He comes to a curve. And something says, you probably ought to slow down. You know, you got a long life to live. I'm 18 years old, and he's young. He's got quick reflexes, and he goes 80 miles an hour around the curve, and he cannot hold it. And the motorcycle flies off and hits a tree, and he dies. And the police come to the girl and they say, we're so sorry. He died in a terrible accident. And what are her first three words? Where was God? And Robert Brzee in this book says, God was the one who gave them love. It was God's idea for them to go on the picnic. It was God and the angels who were whispering, go get your helmet. It was God and the angels who were saying, slow down, you got a long life to live. You don't need to go this fast around the curve. The angels are not the ones who put up their hand and keep a motorcycle against centrifugal force. He is the one whispering to us all the time. That's what it means for the angels to encamp. Angels are the ones whispering to us, trying to suggest us how to live at our very best. Dick Wynn says, when you pray for your food and you ask God to bless it, that isn't the right time to pray that, he said. The time to pray is while you're walking through the grocery aisle and choosing what you're going to eat. That's the time to pray. Let the angels talk to you. When you're asking God to protect, if I pray for God to protect my two sons driving back from Texas with the basketball team next week, what we're praying for is that they will drive well, that they will drive awake, that they will not fall asleep, that they will be careful. We're probably not asking that God somehow will put his giant hand of angels up against some truck that's flying off the road or flying at them. He probably is not going to move sheet metal around. He works in our minds because we have opened up our mind and heart to God and ask him to work in our lives. And so when we ask the angels to encamp around about us, the angels are whispering, put your seatbelts on. Lock the doors of your house. Have the alarm system. Save your money for retirement. Put firewalls under a computer. There's all kinds of ways the angels are protecting you through your mind, through whispering to you in your life. C.S. Lewis tells a very famous little story. He said he had to preach on Sunday somewhere. He thought he would go to the barbershop. He had to ride a couple trains and a bus. But then he got the news that he didn't have to preach that Sunday. So then he thought, I don't need to get a haircut. But then in his mind, he thought, maybe I should go anyway. So he jumped on the train, went on the train, got there to the barbershop. He says, I walked in the door and the barber said, I was praying you would come today. And he said, those who are the ones who know God best will know whether that was God or not when the angels are whispering. We had a lady tell a story right here in Sabbath school this morning, hearing a voice practically saying, stop and help that man. And the man who she stopped to help said, I've been praying, not praying for 25 years. I pray today and you stopped. Wow. God whispers. I had someone challenge me this week. He said, Pastor Dan, I don't think we really need to have a heaven. I don't think it's that important, mansions and streets of gold. Who cares about all of that? We have let this idea of a reward of heaven keep us from doing what we ought to be doing here and now. We need to be changing the world now, not just waiting for heaven to come, endure this life. Someday we will get a reward. No, this life, this kingdom, build the kingdom of God. And I said to I said to this one, I don't think I have to make a choice, do I? Do I have to choose between these two kingdoms? Why can't I have both? C.S. Lewis says, aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you'll get neither one. Jesus said, thy kingdom come, what? On earth as it is in heaven. He has both. We do not have to choose between these two. And I would just like to say, I am not skimping out on what we have to do in this world to try to make this world a better place. Just because I believe I'm going to another world for 1,000 years. We still try to put mattresses on those kids' beds. This week, they put the water into the restrooms in that girl's dorm. We still build orphanages and fix farms and go to the homeless and try to get school supplies for the kids here in our community. We still recycle. We still fight to make this world better. I am not skimping out. And number two, I am not skipping out on the value of pleasures of this world. I've been all over the world. I drink beautiful drinks. I eat beautiful food. I have thousands of friends. I have played every sport. I am not skipping out on this life, waiting for another life to come. But can I say as clear as I can? You cannot pray and work hard enough to make this world good enough to take the place of heaven for me. No matter how good you make it, it will never be what I am looking forward to. This will never be heaven. We will never see Jesus face to face down here. We will never get to see my Father face to face again if this world is all we have. There will be a day when I will wish that I would have another 1,000 years to see Hilda and the boys. And that will not be just down here. We still get old down here. This world, as good as it is, will never be good enough. We want both worlds. This world, we have the angels encamping some, but not enough. The fall is still coming someday. Amen? And that is the final answer for this particular verse and these verses that we're wrestling with today. The final fulfillment of all these angels encamping around about you and 1,000 on one side and 10,000 is when we come to the last days. The angels have had to hide in the shadows for a long time in order to protect people's free choice. But there will be a day when the Bible describes a cloud of angels that will come. They will step out of the shadows and they will become visible and real to all of us then. And there will be a cloud of angels that will come, and it says there will be a shout, what? Of the archangel. Matthew says God will have them and there will be the shout of a trumpet call and he will send the angels all over the world to collect the very elect to come to be with him. And we will ride on a cloud of angels to go into the gates of heaven. And we will walk through the gates and they will close those gates and then we will be inside the walls of a heaven that Satan cannot come. The angels encamp around about them. For 1,000 years, Satan cannot come. And then it says, we will come down here. And the holy city will descend, and it says God will wake everyone else up. And all of a sudden, we are surrounded by 100 billion of the evil people in the world. Every drug lord, every general, every crime, every evil person will be there surrounding us. But between us and them is a wall of heavenly angels. And that is the fulfillment of Psalm 34, verse 7. Today we have the angels sometimes whispering wherever they can fit in, hiding in the shadows. But someday when we are surrounded by all the evil of the universe, it'll be the angels that protect us. And 1,000 will fall at the side and 10,000 on the right side. But it will not come near us. Amen? That's when those verses will be fully fulfilled. The promises are absolutely sure. But before I'm done, I'll tell you a couple quick stories. While we are still here, where I believe the angels fit into our world today. I was with my friend Dwight Nelson last Monday. We were friends for last almost 50 years, grew up in high school, Singapore together, been best friends for a long time. Pastor at Andrews, his mother passed away, the funeral was Monday, a whole group of us got together. Dwight grew up in Japan, told many stories. I've known this story for a long time. The missionaries would go up to a lake where there was a retreat. And somehow, Saturday afternoon, they were getting ready to have vespers. Someone was not watching, and little Dwight, 1 year old, began to walk on a pier out into the lake and somehow fell into the lake. No one saw him. No one heard him down at the bottom, 10 feet down in the water. But a couple minutes later, one of the other missionaries walked onto that pier, happened to look down, happened to see a little baby down there, and dove in and pulled Dwight up and brought him and saved his life. And Dwight has been a pastor all over the world for the last 45 years. The angels did not go down there and pick up a little boy. That's what we want. We want God to do these miracles. But what the angels did, they told a man who was listening to God to walk under the pier right then, to look down and to see him and go and fish him out of there, and gave him his life. And that man became the dean of the seminary's chapel for a long time, working with Dwight. His angels. And 25 years later, Dwight Nelson and I were in Portland, driving from Portland to Walla Walla. We're in the freeway along the mountain gorge. And we had a little puzzle game magazine we had. I'm driving. Dwight's there. I'm looking down, helping him. We're looking at the puzzle. When all of a sudden, I looked around a curve, and I thought, I think that car is on the wrong side of the road. I don't know how I recognized it. But just in case he's on the wrong side of the road, I moved over. And that second, a car whizzed by on our side of the freeway. 70 miles an hour, closing at 140. And Dwight says, "What was that?" And if the angels hadn't whispered to me, "You better move over," two young preachers would have had their career finished. And Dwight and I absolutely believe it was angels that whispered to me, "Move over, that car's on your side of the freeway." That's what we believe. I am not going down that scale. I am not going to zero. I am not giving up my belief in God. That God is alive, that he is well, he is not dead, he is not asleep, he's not on vacation. He is in our world today, and the angels are around, and they're whispering, and they're talking to us, and someday we will have the angels all around us forever. That's what I believe. I'm not giving it up. Amen? God bless you all.